Are you running on empty?
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. And we're the Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
That's right, Kev. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the Computer Guys. It's time to get your free tech support. Just give us a call, 395-1450. We'd be happy to help.
That's
395-1450.
Or send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. I think we have a couple in there that we're going to try and get to today. But if you're at your computer, you're having a problem, just send us an email. Again, that's computerguys@whtc.com. And we will try to get to that on the show.
Kev, good news.
Good news?
We've won two lotteries this week.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, I'm so happy.
All right, I'll take the second one.
Oh, how much did I win? Look at this. I'm so happy.
How much did I win? Come on.
Man. One from the Netherlands and one from Microsoft.
Oh, wait. The Microsoft one. That sounds pretty good. Pretty legit. Because they were having a lottery, right?
Yeah. I got. If you ever get these emails, it says Bill Gates is doing an email survey.
Oh, yeah. He's always doing one of those.
And he's passing out like $2,400. And you know it's legit because your friend who's a lawyer just showed you a check the other day.
Oh, that's right.
Not going to happen.
That's right. You're going to get the money.
No,
because they really need to test their system.
That's it.
And they need to pay for it for some reason.
Yep, that doesn't work. It would be nice. I tell you what, I would forward it on to a lot of people if it did work.
If you have ever gotten a check in any one of those email scams, I don't care who it was that was testing, whether it was Microsoft or The Gap or whoever, it comes from everybody, just give us a call here. I'd like to know about that. Or if you've ever gotten money from Nigeria, you know, like $250,000 for sending them like $3,000.
I want to know if anyone's actually sent a check over there.
Well, there's that guy in Reader's Digest.
Well, there's a lot of people who do it.
He delivered the money in person, and then they basically robbed him and sent him home on the plane. They deported him. It was a pretty bad idea.
Yeah, you've got a. I saw something as on. I don't know. It was on Dateline NBC or 2020. You know where they they talk to these people who've actually done that where they. And they asked them, you know, well, what is it? What? I mean, at what point did you know that it probably wasn't legit? And most of them said, well, I pretty much knew even going over that it wasn't legit. But, you know, there's still that chance.
Just hoping.
It's just greed.
I think so.
Well, that's what they said. I mean, they talked to these doctors and psychologists about it and everything else. And they said, well, you know, it's just human beings or a lot of us just can be greedy sometimes.
It's true.
You know, if you got that little $1 million carrot just dangling right in front of you there, maybe.
What would you do? What would you do if you had that $1 million?
I'll tell you what, though. I know what I would do.
What's that?
I'd get a boat.
Would you finish your yard?
And I would pay somebody to go work in my stupid yard. I was out there yesterday, and I got to go out there again today.
It's hilarious.
So, anyway, it's not as exciting as...
rip the whole thing out. Rip it all out.
You're one show ahead, Kev. Or behind. Where are the computer guys?
It's all right. We can talk about your lawn.
Well,
if anybody's got advice for Dave's lawn, give us a call.
Well, actually, we got a couple calls here when Josh is just writing down the information.
This is, before that, this is interesting. I had no idea this happened. Did you know about that Xbox issue that it's called the Xbox murder trial?
No.
Yeah, jury selection is beginning today. This was as of Monday. Four men charged with using aluminum bats to beat six people to death over an Xbox video game system. Prosecutors claim the men organized the attack to retrieve the gaming system that one of them lost when he was kicked out of a different house. It's an Xbox. This is crazy.
Well, yeah, people kill each other forever.
It says they're seeking the death penalty for the other defendants.
Well, let's go.
One guy's received life. So, anyways.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning, Ron. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, Ron?
Yeah, I see they moved up from Nike tennis shoes to Xboxes, huh?
That's right. That's the new
iPods.
Thing.
iPods. They kill people for iPods, too.
Oh, that, you know, just what are those Bluetooth or whatever those things are? Those little handheld computer gadgets? That might be next, huh?
Yeah, it could be.
Hey, guys, you were talking about those emails you get, you know, from... somebody wanting you to send your bank account statements to share some of their wealth from Nigeria and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gotten many, many of those, and it's not only from there. There's other countries, too, you know, that send those things out, supposedly. But I heard they tracked them from Canada. You know, there was a spot in Canada somebody was sending this out of. But it kind of loops or something. They use it through the system. They go through Canada, through another area, And they send these emails around through a loop or something so they can't be traced.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, but I get so many of those. How do you eliminate something like that? Is there some kind of do not call list?
that would be nice, but unfortunately, because email is so international.
Right.
The easiest way is just to use a program that does spam filtering.
Oh, yeah, I have that, and you know, with firewall and all that, but sometimes that gets in the way of some of the good email that you're looking at or some websites you want to get in on.
Well, if you use Microsoft Outlook for your email, instead of just Outlook Express is the basic free one that it comes with.
Right.
If you use Outlook, it actually has on the newest version, 2003, a really nice spam filtering system that's included with the product that I use personally and Kev, you use as well.
Yeah, it actually does work pretty well, but if you don't use that, you can buy something standalone like a Norton anti-spam, or there's several other ones. Or basically what it does is in your email program, let's say you use Outlook Express, it creates a separate folder called junk mail.
Right, right.
And if it picks up something, it delivers it to that folder.
Right.
The nice part about that is you can go in once a week, once a month, however often, and see if there's something in there that shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, it picks up the bad stuff every once in a while. It picks up a good thing, too. And those are pretty effective.
Right. Yeah, I go through my junk mail also, and it's daily. And I pick out what I know I need or want to read, and I send it back over to the good files and delete everything. I want to keep it as clean as possible in there. And so that's a good idea just to go through then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes depending on who you use for your email, if you use something like Hotmail or Yahoo Mail, that also has junk mail filtering built in.
Right.
And that's totally free. It's web-based, meaning you have to go to a website to check it.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, especially the Yahoo Mail, the junk mail filter is actually pretty good. It gets rid of most stuff. So those are out there too. And the other option is to talk to your internet service provider, whoever you have.
Right.
And see if they have any junk mail filtering capability.
Right. Okay, hey guys, thanks a lot. Nice getting you back. Hope you get our show back on.
sounds good.
Thanks, Ron.
I'll keep pushing for that.
Okay.
Good luck. Have a good Easter.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
That's right, Kev. Got a big Easter coming up tomorrow. All right, let's go to the next phone call here. And this is Fran. Thanks for waiting here, Fran. You're on with the computer guys.
Okay, good morning. We have a compact laptop computer.
Okay.
And I get into the third screen of Microsoft Windows XP, and it appears to freeze up on me.
What's the third screen? Can you describe that?
Yeah, the third screen is a Microsoft Windows XP.
Okay, does it just say that? Is there the scrolling bar across the bottom?
No, there's nothing. I have the little, you know, the flag, the red, green, blue, and yellow.
Oh, it's a blue screen just before
yes,
it.
Yes, it's a blue screen.
Oh, okay. So it just gets to that point, and it just sort of sits there. And now, have you let it go for like 20 minutes, a half hour, to see if it goes beyond that point?
Yes, we have.
And it just sits there?
It just sits there.
Okay.
Right.
Anything happen just before this started? Any new software or hardware installed?
No.
Any problems shutting down prior to that? Did you have to, like, force it off?
No.
Well, I think the easiest thing to try is turn off your computer, and then the next time you turn it on your keyboard, there's a button, F8.
F8?
Yep, there's a function buttons, F1, F2, F3, and you want to find the button that says F8.
Okay, F8. Okay.
Yep, F8. And then after you turn your computer on, start pushing that about every 2 seconds.
Okay, I can't do it now. I'm sitting in front of it right now.
Well, you could. And what you do is just go ahead and turn your computer off there. You may have to hold the power down for 7 seconds.
It will take a while. We have a slow one.
Okay.
Okay, it's off. I'll turn it on.
Okay. And then just start pushing that F8 button. And what that does is that's going to, in a minute here, once it gets past the little Dell or gateway screen, whatever it is.
Okay. I have safe mode on here now.
Yep. Do you see at the very bottom it says last known good configuration?
It says use the up and down arrow key to move the highlight to your choice.
Can you push the arrow down till it highlights the one that says last known good configuration?
Okay, I'm pushing the arrow down.
Yep.
Okay, to which one?
should be, what is it, Kev? Last known?
Yeah, it's last known good configuration.
And basically what this does is it's going to try to say, okay, well, there's a problem here. Maybe there was something that we did that's not letting your computer start. So it's going to basically turn back the clock on some of your computer settings.
I have start Windows normally.
There's nothing else.
What other options do you see?
Oh, I have safe mode with networking, safe mode with command prop, enable boot logging, enable VGA mode, last known good.
Yep, that's the one you want, last known good configuration.
Okay, that's what I need.
Arrow down and push enter.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, then there's probably something else going on in your computer. That's the easiest way to fix it. If that doesn't do it.
Okay, that's not doing it. I'm pressing down on my...
It takes a little while.
Oh, okay.
So you want to press enter after you have that selected, and it'll try and boot. Give it a little while, you know, at least 5 minutes or so, and see if it comes up. If it doesn't come up, it's probably something you're going to need to have looked at. It could be a corrupted system file or an incorrect driver that somehow got installed, or it could be possibly hard disk failure.
Okay.
So if that doesn't work, it's definitely something that's probably worth having looked at.
Okay, real good. Thanks so
okay.
much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hopefully that'll work for her.
Yep. The non-booting XP, especially when it doesn't give you an error message.
I know. It just sits there.
Any range of things. And most of the time, it's, you know, since it's not telling you what to do, it's not really easy to fix. One other thing to tell her to try and do, if that doesn't do it, is to unplug. If she has anything plugged into the back, USB devices-wise, or printer, anything like that, unplug everything except the monitor, keyboard, and mouse. Try and boot again and see if that does it for you.
Sounds good. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines here with the next caller. Good morning, Bob. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I've got a question that I don't think you've ever addressed on the air. What do we do with all these old floppy drives we have around? Most of us have probably hundreds of floppy drives, and most of them are kind of hard plastic. They've got data on them. I'm just not sure what's the most ecologically sensitive way to get rid of all of those things.
Well, first of all, you want to make sure that you delete, you know, if you had any sensitive information on there. Just if you're not worried about it, boy, Kev, I don't even know if those things can be recycled. I suppose if you broke them down, you could recycle the plastic as well as the metal that's on there, don't you think?
But, yeah, I'm just looking at something right here about what you can do.
Is there a floppy drive recycling program?
Well, I'm looking. It says there's a link here. So hold on, I'm going to put this in and see what they say. This is a recycling computer components. Okay, what do they say? They're just talking about donation.
You can do something creative, like paper your wall with them, or do some sort of an art project with them.
They talk about reusing them. So if you wiped them clean, you could try and give them to, like Salvation Army or Goodwill.
Okay.
Because there are still some people who do use those. You know, if you're talking about older computers,
yes.
And shoot, I don't even know, maybe they send them to other countries. A lot of other countries, you know, don't have the ability to use, you know, CD burners or something like that, especially if they're receiving, like, donated computers, and floppies are some of the only storage medium they have. So they do talk about donating to Salvation Army on here. As far as I know, there's no good way to recycle floppy disks.
Well,
so you ask a very good question.
What about wiping them clean? I mean, do I have to sit and just do them manually, or is there a big magnet I can run over them, or what would be the easiest way to...
A little hammer on each one of them. Quick tap on each one and just toss it in the garbage.
No, that's not ecologically sensitive.
The easiest thing to do is to format them. But that does involve popping each one in your computer.
Exactly.
And if there's very sensitive information on it, unfortunately, a format isn't going to completely wipe that out.
Let's just get a big magnet involved.
Well, that's what I was wondering. If you have a big magnet system or know of one, or a bulk,
Yeah, they have it for audio tapes, and my guess is it would probably work with that.
If you find out anything about that,
this is an issue that people haven't really explored much. So we'll take a look at it and see if we can come up with anything.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Goodbye.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one, Computer Consignments. This is in Mount Pleasant, just in relationship to this. And they talk about recycling and then reusing. considering computer donation and floppy disks.
Turn in some sort of an art project.
You
donate
could do
to
that.
Local,
you could do that.
Local schools, give them to the kids.
Now, thankfully, they don't have any toxic material in. So you don't have to worry about that as much. Now,
it's not as bad as throwing out a monitor in the trash.
No, there's not going to be any lead or heavy metals in them. But you do have probably a little bit of aluminum, the plastic, and that's about it. So,
sounds good, Kev. Let's go to the next phone call here. Good morning, Robert. You're on with the computer guys.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about high-speed internet access.
Sure.
I'm thinking about going to that. But what options do we have in the Holland Zealand area as far as providers? And is there... like SBC is a $12.95 a month for 1 year.
Yep. Well, the good news is that there are a lot of options for high speed in West Michigan.
Okay.
Obviously, the farther out of the city, the more rural area that you live in, the less options you'll have. But, yep, there is the AT&T DSL for $12.99 for 12 months. That's the best price, as far as I'm concerned, is price for speed and everything else.
Most bang for the buck. Now, it's not going to be as fast as probably a cable connection. Just to give you some numbers, a cable is about a 6 megabit. The SBC starter at the $12.99 is a 1.5. It's considerably faster than dial-up. And for most people who just want to get on some websites and check their email, it's the best way to go.
Okay.
It's a good service and a good value at $12.99.
Comcast, Charter.
Comcast
they
and
both,
Charter.
For both of the cable companies have high speed.
A little pricier with those options. Often they have some promotions for the first 6 months, and then it goes up to the normal price,
a lot of times you can get Comcast cable for $20 a month for 6 months, and then it goes up to like $43 a month.
Okay. So,
I think it's SBC jumps to 29 something.
Yeah, that's after a year. Thing to know, though, is at that point in time, you're not locked in, and so you can always rejoin at whatever the promotional rate is. So the $12.99 is a pretty attractive price tag.
Must you have AOL or some other provider along with us when you...
No, they are the internet provider, and you use your computer has Internet Explorer or Netscape or whatever you use on there. You can get AOL broadband, I think, in addition to your DSL, or you can even get AOL, I think it's called AOL
high
broadband.
Speed, yeah, it's like $25, so it's like twice as much.
But it does provide that AOL service on there, which some people really like.
But I won't need my Juno or anything anymore.
Nope. Now, if you switch over to one of these, you will get a new email address.
Okay.
So you'll lose that Juno, unless, I don't know, Kev, could they still do the free with Juno?
Yeah, Juno's been changing their policies, but you may be able to maintain your free account with Juno and just keep that email address, but not use them for your internet service. Okay. And I think they do have a program for that.
So
as far as internet, though, those really are your best options.
Are there a lot of additional costs? You know, you look at the fine print. They got a 3 foot of fine print on the bottom of it.
Yeah, the charges for DSL, basically, you have the modem, which they provide you. It's $49 with a $49 rebate. So basically, you pay $49 for it. 10 to 12 weeks later, you get a check back to offset that cost. Mm-hmm. You have a $12.95 shipping and handling to send that modem to you. That's a one-time charge. And then your only other option is the installation. Now, if you have SBC do it, it's like $200.
Right.
If you do a self-install, there's no charge for that. And then we also do it for less than SBC does, if you wanted a technician install, but for a lower cost.
That probably would be the way to go with it, right? Have you do it?
Yeah, you know, it's really the disadvantage of doing the self-install is that it installs quite a few programs onto your computer. Since they're partnered with Yahoo for the content, you'll get a Yahoo toolbar, Yahoo browser, Yahoo connection manager, Yahoo this, that.
Chat program.
So it's kind of annoying. If you have a brand new computer and it's really fast, you won't notice a difference in speed. But if you have a little bit older computer, it's going to slow it down considerably.
Okay.
So, yeah, you have some options there, but we can definitely help you get set up if that's something you're interested in.
Good.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robert. All right, Kev, well, we got an email here. I wanted to read this one on the air. I don't know how. I've never taken a class in Italian. I've taken Latin before, Spanish, Dutch, French, but I don't know how to speak any Italian, so I might butcher this.
Oh, is this in Italian?
Just the intro. Buongiorno. Is that right?
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno? Okay. How do you know that?
You remember, what is it, the...
Everybody Loves Raymond.
No.
That where you learned to
No, there's some movie. It's got Roberto Benigni in.
All right. Anyway.
Speaks Italian.
This is from one of our listeners, and this email is pretty cool. I look forward to either listening to your show in the morning or catching it up with you guys on the podcast every Saturday. But last week, I was vacationing abroad in Italy for spring break. Boy, that must have been nice.
That must have been nice.
Tough. So I missed two of your Saturday morning shows / podcasts. Thankfully, I did have my iPod with me on vacation,
sweet.
And I did have two Computer Guys podcast episodes on it to listen to.
Yes.
I was very happy when I got home and had two brand new shows to listen to and enjoy. Tell Josh to keep up the good work.
Good work, Josh.
Come on over, Josh, and give you a pat on the back. And thanks for all the computer help. And that's from a dedicated Computer Guys listener.
All right.
We have a fan.
I like it. Who's in Italy?
That was awesome.
That's awesome. We love it.
Computer Guys have traveled to Italy.
That's right.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines here. We got a lot of calls this morning. Let's go ahead and take this one here. Good morning, Kathy. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Good morning.
How you doing, Kathy?
I'm okay, thank you. My computer has a virus called download.trojan.
Okay.
And I did a complete scan, and it suggested that we quarantine it. And then it suggested we delete it, and it will not do any of those. It said that Norton cannot fix this virus, and it suggested that we manually delete it. Any suggestions? This manually deleting, is this something?
Is your antivirus?
We don't know much about.
Is your antivirus up to date? It's still like your subscription is still valid.
Yes, the subscription doesn't run out until October.
Okay. One thing you can do is basically run live update.
Okay, we did that.
Okay,
we
get it all the way up to date. When you did your full system scan, did you do it in normal mode or in safe mode?
I have no clue.
Okay, just the computer was on.
Yeah.
So it was normal.
Oh, yes, the computer was on.
Okay, one thing you can do is you can restart your computer in safe mode. So basically turn it all the way off, and then as soon as you punch the power button, begin pressing F8 repeatedly about every 2 seconds.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you're at your computer.
Okay, I'm not at it right now.
Okay, so turn it all the way off, turn it back on, and then just begin pressing F8.
Turn off, turn on. Okay, while it's coming back on or after it's on?
While it's booting back up.
As soon as it's got that little start page and it says, you know, Dell or Compaq or whatever there.
Just start repeatedly pressing F8 until it gives you an option of how you want to start up.
Okay, F-A or 8?
8.
8?
Yep, the function 8 key.
Okay.
And then when it gives you the option, boot up in safe mode.
It'll just be on there. You arrow down or up and then press enter.
Okay.
And it'll load up and it'll look a little bit differently. But basically from there, you want to go and you want to run a full system scan with your antivirus. Now, the reason is, in safe mode, a lot of the viruses don't actually start, and so you'll have a better chance of removing the virus when it's in safe mode.
So you'll still need to run Norton again once the computer turns on. It'll look a lot different. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
The icons will be bigger, and some things might be in different places, but find your Norton or... Do you have Norton?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, open up that and run a full system scan. And you have a much better chance of actually getting rid of this virus.
Okay, so I'm going to shut the machine off, and I'm going to turn it back on. And as it's coming on, like it says, just right away, as soon
just
as it's
right away,
coming
yeah,
on, it's, just keep pushing F8.
Correct.
About every 1 to 2 seconds.
Okay.
If the computer starts beeping back at you, don't worry about it. Just keep pushing F8.
And then an option will come up?
Yep, of how you want to start, and you want to choose safe mode.
Okay. And then it will just continue to come up?
It'll
and
come
then
up.
I go on to getting Norton and...
Exactly.
And live update?
You won't need to do that.
Nope.
Just open Norton and run a scan.
Yep.
Okay. Now, is that... I heard of someone who knows a lot more than we do, that they tried to fix it, I don't know how, and that they really messed their whole computer up?
This won't mess it up.
This will not mess it up?
Nope.
I can't?
Nope, it won't. It'll either be able to remove it or it won't, and if it doesn't, then you're going to want to have somebody probably take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a Trojan is one that kind of sticks around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often difficult to get rid of, and they make special tools to get rid of that virus.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like it recommended, going manually to getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if you go in manually and you get something wrong, you can seriously mess your computer up. So, mm-hmm.
Okay,
how do I go
back to normal running afterwards?
Just restart it.
Restart it.
Don't press any keys, and it'll come up normally.
Oh, it will just come back normally?
Yep, after you restart.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck, Kathy. Sorry.
Am I passing this virus on by emailing or anything?
No. I would get rid of it now.
Get rid of it first, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Kathy. Unfortunately, we're out of time here. Thanks to everybody who called today.
That's right. If we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. Our office phone number is 394-4940. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 833 Maple Avenue. That's the corner of 34th and Maple.
Thanks to everybody who called, and have a great week.
For listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.